And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And subject today is near and dear, very important. In fact, a subject that hits our own family. Two of my daughters married in just the last year and a half. And, wow, young people are getting married. It's kind of scary. It's a beautiful thing, but it's kind of scary. And, you know, at some points you wonder if they're ready for this. Recently, I've had advice that I've given to my sons-in-laws, my daughters, and others, other young folks getting married. And basically, I'm saying, okay, getting married is like riding the rapids. It's whitewater rafting. Now, if you've ever done whitewater rafting, you know, you run into the boat and you say, well, this is going to be a lot of fun, until you start to hear the roar. Okay, until you start to hear the roar. What's that noise? What's that noise? That's a number five coming up. And the best advice I can give young couples is very simply this. When you're riding through a number five, and that's what happens in marriage, that's what happens in the spiritual life. When you're running through a level five rapid, you don't stand up in the boat, beat your chest, and say, I got this. Okay, that doesn't work. It does not work. Trust me. In fact, the guides will tell you, in fact, if you ride the rapids of the rivers in Colorado, the guides will always tell you that as you approach the number four or the number five, when you're coming down over the waterfall or whatever it is, you gotta kneel down, okay? You gotta kneel down, and everybody leans in to the center of the boat. So the posture of humility is really a very, very good posture to take when you're hitting the big rapids in whitewater rafting. The same thing applies to marriage. Well, that's about all the counsel I have for right now. But we've got two pastors, two authors of a new book joining me today on the Generations broadcast. Each has been married for, 6 to 10 years. These guys are not, 30, 40 years at it as you know, some of us, but they've been working with this, and they've been experienced. They've been through the rapids, probably the threes, the fours, and the fives themselves, and they are also pastors of churches in Jacksonville, Florida. Sean Perrin and Spencer Harmon are joining me today. Their new book, Letters to a Romantic First Years of Marriage. Guys, welcome. It's good to have you with us today on the Generations broadcast.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay. What's with the title of the book? Let's start there. Letters to a Romantic. That's interesting. Why did you call the book that?
Yeah, our goal in the book was what we said when we were starting out writing this book and the other two before it on dating and engagement, was that we wanted to write a short, accessible set of letters to people who are pursuing romantic relationships, but who want to pursue romantic relationships governed by Scripture, governed by the Bible, with a Christ-centered approach. And the way we've talked about it is we said, you know, we want these to be short, we want these to be easy to read, and we want these to facilitate a conversation. The way we've talked about it a lot is we want to start the conversation for couples, whether they're dating, whether they're engaged, or if they're in their first years of marriage. And we want to be able to start a conversation that they can have together. And so we also want them to be really warm, because we're in the same season of life as them. We're actually not talking down to them. We're talking right next to them. Mm-hmm. We just got out of the first 5 years of marriage. And so we want to talk about it with them. And we want to share our own experiences of what we've walked through ourselves. But we also want to just testify to the power and the sufficiency of God's word to address even the most complex problems. And so that's where the letter format comes in. And it's actually been a pretty effective way to communicate with our readers.
Yeah. What do you think of the analogy? Whitewater rafting, this is going to be fun. Okay. So marriage is a lot of fun. So you jumped into the boat, you're having a lot of fun, and then you hear the roar. What do you think of that analogy? Does that help?
Yeah, I think it does. So we talk about the weighty thrill of marriage.
Yeah.
So there's a weight to it that comes with it. but there's a thrill. I mean, there is a joy and a blast. And in whitewater rafting, you're scared to death at points, but you're getting wet, but also you're with your friends, and it's thrilling. And so, I think it does work. And I think what you're getting at there with listening to the guide, listening to someone who's been more experienced, that is ultimately in the scriptures. So the Bible is the source of our wisdom. And you're not going to want to stand up in the middle of a Category 5. You're going to want to sit down, wear your helmet, and do what the guy says who's guiding you.
That's right. Now, guys, this has been a major concern for our church and for our ministry. Certainly, my wife and I have been very concerned. We see young people wander in and out of the church. We've seen a number of young marriages falling apart. I don't know. It's pretty high, maybe 30-40%. I haven't done the numbers recently, but these are folks raised in Christian families, sometimes homeschooled. They've been taken through premarital counseling. You know, they've received a fair amount of input from pastors in the church. They've been happily married, sort of, for 2 to 3 years, and then you come back later and find out they got a divorce. I mean, what happened here? What's going on?
Yeah, I think what often happens in marriage is it starts applying some pretty unique pressure to your life. So oftentimes what we get into is we're dating, and when we're dating, we're kind of presenting this best version of ourselves, and there's often this like way to escape. If you're seeking to honor God with your purity, you're living in different places, you're able to retreat into your home and get away from each other for some time, and you don't even get to experience maybe conflict and the full weight of it that happens in marriage. And then these couples, they get into the first 5 years of marriage, and the heat really starts to turn up.
Yeah.
Marriage inevitably starts to expose your heart, because you're living with another sinner. You're living with someone who is in the middle of their sanctification, and they're going to sin against you. You're going to have conflict. There's just going to be things that aren't necessarily sinful that you just find really annoying that they do, and you just have to forbear with. And couples have a choice right in the middle of that exposure that marriage brings about for them. And the choice is whether or not you will approach those problems and the things that marriage exposes about your heart, and you run from those things and seek to avoid them, or you blame shift, or you can sit at the feet of Christ and be informed by what he says in his word. Mm-hmm. And what Jesus says to us in the gospel is that you are a sinner, and that you actually need someone to die for your sins to change your heart. And so when a couple's get married and they have the gospel at the center of their marriage, they know that they need forgiveness.
Oh,
they
yeah.
know that they're going to sin against each other. Mm-hmm. And they actually have this posture of humility that they can actually deal with these problems biblically. It doesn't make it easy,
mm-hmm.
but it does give them a framework to work inside of. And what I'm afraid happens is that often couples are listening more closely to the world and what the world says marriage is supposed to be like, the things you're supposed to feel, the things that's supposed to be happening, and how your spouse is supposed to be treating you. And that starts to shape their expectations more than God's word is shaping their expectations.
Where do they get that? Where do they get the worldly inputs? Is it the movie thing?
You know, I think there's several different places that are like young couples are being shaped. I think media is a huge piece of this. So right now there are several different inputs in the life of a couple. And so I think that obviously people are watching television. They're on social media. They're getting inundated with the world trying to proactively disciple them and to change the way that they think about life and love and sex and money. And it really does take Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 to be a real commitment for a couple that they're going to renew their mind according to the scriptures and actually resist the world and let God's word actually govern them. And it's just going to be harder and harder to do that as our culture really kind of turns on its head. Having a God-honoring marriage, I mean, goodness gracious, just getting married is actually a really radical thing to do right now.
Yeah, oh yeah. Now, what are the problems that no one really wants to talk about during those first 5 years of marriage, do you think?
Oh my goodness. Well, definitely sexual issues.
Okay.
So sexual difficulties come up, and that could either be from sexual sin that the couple had before the relationship, or sexual sin that they didn't talk about before the relationship, or just difficulties in trying to figure out how this works in marriage.
So how much does pornography damage a marriage? Do you guys have a sense of that? I know you've been involved somewhat in the biblical counseling field.
Yeah.
What's your experience with that?
That is a very, very devastating issue. Mm-hmm. And couples don't know how to handle it. So either one is ashamed to talk about it, one is ashamed to mention it before they get married, or when they do talk about it, there isn't any real solid biblical counsel. There's not a repentance that takes place. There's not an understanding of what that repentance should look like. And it views expectations going into the marriage bed. It impacts how a spouse would feel and how they think about the other spouse. It's huge. It's a big issue.
Hmm. Is it equally affecting the young lady as much as the young man, do you think?
So it's hard to tell. I haven't looked at the latest statistics, but I do know it's been on the rise in the past 5 years for women and for wives. And I've counseled couples who it's the wife that was looking at pornography and struggling with it. And so it is not a gender specific sin. Right. It's a human heart issue that that lusts and longs for what we don't have.
Is there a problem that seems to be the number one issue that couples run into during those first 4 to 5 years?
I'd say that next to sexual issues, the other one is just how to handle conflict.
Okay.
So couples start arguing with each other within the first year of marriage. There's going to be conflicts over small things and over big things. And the way they handle the conflict is something they often are not prepared for. So how do we navigate an argument or a conflict or a disagreement with each other in a way that glorifies God? And what happens is the problem just compounds over and over and over again. So you and me get in a conflict with each other. Maybe you run away and avoid conflict, and I get really aggressive and I go into conflict, and we never actually address those issues and really seek to deal with our problems biblically. Mm-hmm. And so we don't ever address it. And then we just wait for the next conflict to come around. And then that just gets worse and it compounds it. And then by the time you get to these couples, and I counsel couples like this in my church right now who've been married for 15 or 20 years, and they get into the counseling room with you and they look at their spouse and they say, you've been doing this for 15 years. And they start saying things like that. And you always have been doing this. And when I see that as a symptom of a couple who hasn't been dealing with their problems biblically. And they've got this long record of wrongs and ways that they have not been dealing with these things well. And I think that just handling conflict inside of marriage is a major topic right along sexual issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right next to that too is even some really just practical problems. Oftentimes a big issue that couples face is in-laws. How do we interact with your parents and my parents? A lot of couples they get married and they start trying to figure out, especially even this time of year, there's going to be a lot of couples. Okay, who are we going to for Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. Where are we going for Christmas?
Right.
What are we doing? And that actually can be a massive area of conflict for couples.
Was there anything that became the number five rapid for you guys? And this could be Sean or Spencer, either one. You know, where you were just like blown away, like you did not expect this. Was there something? Did you run into a serious hitch in, say, the first couple of years?
Oh boy, yeah. So I think this may be shocking. Having humility to ask for advice from other couples, to be able to give advice. It's one thing to know that you should have it together and know what the Bible says. But then my wife and I came up on an issue related to what we've been talking about with conflict and sex. And we needed help. And that can be embarrassing to ask for help. But it is so relieving to
right.
go to the church.
Critical.
And say, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I need help in this particular area. And the church can speak directly and sharpen one another and build each other up in the faith as it should.
That's so critical for pastors, you know, because, I mean, yeah. You're a pastor, you're like the guy, you know, And here you are, you know, humbly approaching other elders, counselors, pastors in the church going, having issues here, you know, that's kind of hard. And that was critical for me as well. Early on, I'm going to say, you know, over the years, me and my wife has sat beside other elders and just said, hey, we need to be accountable on these things. Oh, yeah. And we need your counsel. And that's been good. I think in some sense, that's a saving grace for the relationship. You agree with that?
Absolutely. The biggest problem is when you don't ask for help. When you think you got it together, that's prideful. It's arrogant. Mm-hmm. It's foolish. We're not meant to live as lone rangers or power couples. We're meant to live as people who are in submission to one another and to the law of Christ and his love. So, yeah, I totally agree.
One of the things that faced us in our marriage is we just suffered a lot. Me and my wife did. My wife got pregnant 3 months into marriage, which we were really excited about, but my wife got really, really sick with mm-hmm. pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Then right after that, my dad really suddenly died tragically. Mm-hmm. So we just started, the rapids were just all these trials coming at us from the outside. Mm-hmm. Now, by God's grace, that really brought us together, but my goodness, we just weren't, you know, when we were like making our vows to each other at the altar, it's like my dad was there. Taylor wasn't sick. Mm-hmm. We were all fine. And then just boom, rapid after rapid of suffering. And the Lord really drew us to him and he drew us to each other. But it really was unexpected. And it's just one of those things where we had that decision to make of, are we going to cling to the Lord or are we going to cling to our own wisdom?
Now, I know this is a touchy subject. We'll get back to it. Sexuality. Is there anything that couples need to know about this area? You know, there's one thing that stands out for something you think every couple needs to know about as they approach their wedding day.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. So, the Bible says, so a couple things, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, you do it all to the glory of God.
Right.
Well, that includes whether or not you have sex. Mm-hmm. And how you have sex, that has to be to the glory of God. And the Bible tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and the closest neighbor we got is the one that's in bed with us. That we sleep with every night. And couples fundamentally have to talk about and be discipled in how to view their neighbor that's closest to them, their spouse, selflessly, to serve them to the glory of God, put them first by putting Christ first. And all of those general principles that we talk about, eating and drinking to the glory of God, all of those general principles apply specifically to the most intimate parts of marriage. So that would be an initial take.
Is it fair to say that the biggest fox in the vineyard is selfishness when it comes to sexuality?
I think so. I think that's exactly right. So I want sex the way I want it. I want it the way I want it. I want it how I want it. Me, 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 me. Mm-hmm. And that is not God-centered and not loving our neighbor.
Hmm. What is one thing you hope your readers will take away and apply from this book?
Yeah, I think the core of what Sean and I are writing in the dating book, engagement book, and this one is we want couples to have a radically God-centered view of their romantic relationships. This is kind of an area where the world has really sought to like drive down a stake and say, this is our area, romance. Mm-hmm. This is where we have the domain and this is where we shape the way people think. And Sean and I are really trying to, with God's word, just kind of push back the darkness and say, actually, this is something that God's word addresses really clearly. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say to couples that, honestly, the first chapter of our book is about marriage exposing your heart. I think what I would want to say to couples who are in the first years of marriage is marriage is going to expose your heart. It's going to show you sin in your life. And you've got a really important decision that you're going to make of whether or not you're going to bury that sin and seek to hide that sin, or if you're going to humbly bring that sin into the light and let Jesus Christ address it with his grace through his word. Hmm. And our goal in these books is that we would just push people over and over again, say, hey, bring your problems to Jesus Christ and let the gospel of Jesus actually address all of the problems. It's really sufficient for the problems that we face.
What's the worst marriage advice you guys have ever received, or the worst marriage advice that the world is giving us?
Oh boy. Well, so this, I don't know if this is the worst. I've heard a lot of bad stuff. but, you know, I've heard over and over again, well-meaning, even godly couples say, oh, you know what? The first week of marriage is great, but you just wait to the second or third week. That's when it'll be really hard. Or, oh, wow, the first year's fine, but wait till you get to year two. It's really terrible. And that is just so different than how the Bible talks. The Bible is full of hope. The Bible is full of life. The Bible is full of flourishing and as we follow Christ. And couples have this mentality of just wait until you get to this year or this moment or this event. Then your life's going to be miserable. Just wait for it. And I think that's really unhelpful.
Let me ask you this. You know, I'm a pastor, and you know, we've got older parents, older couples in the churches. What can we do to cheerlead the young couples, to come alongside, to exhort, to encourage them during these first few years of marriage?
This is so important, and this is honestly the thing that you'll see in our book is just a thing we come back to over and over again. Of just like, hey, talk to someone in your local church, talk to a godly couple. One of the things, if I could speak to pastors and speak to even parents or just older couples in local churches all over the place, is I would want to encourage them to be proactive with the young couples and the young married couples in their church and to do really practical things to basically just love on them. I think if you know that a couple has gotten married in the last 5 years, invite them over to your house for dinner or take them out to dinner, buy them dinner, and ask them, say, hey, how is your marriage going? And then there'll be a temptation probably for that couple to be like, oh, everything's fine, nothing to see here. But dig deeper. Don't settle for that.
Right.
Say, hey, could you tell me about, I know that these are some particular trouble spots in marriage. Maybe even tell a story about your marriage early on and say, hey, you know what? We really struggled in these couple of areas. I know there were big questions about sex. There were conflicts that we were facing. We had issues with our in-laws. Hey, have you guys had any of those issues? We would just love to know how we can pray for you guys. I think if you had couples in your church that are mature, that love the Bible, that love Christ, and they say, hey, we're just going to adopt these young couples and we're going to really invest in them. I think that just starts with just having people in your home, going out to dinner, and just regularly checking in. So that way couples know, hey, this is actually a church where we can talk about problems and even confess, hey, I'm not where I think I should be, and get real help. But I think it just cultivating a local church that's really committed to relationships, really committed to bearing each other's burdens, really committed to speaking the truth in love to each other, Ephesians 4:15, that's the first major step. Honestly, and this isn't just to be self-promoting, but one of the reasons we wrote the books the way we did is so that an older couple can take the book and say, hey, I'd love to go through this with you. There's 22 chapters in this. There's some questions at the end. If you guys just want to come over every other week, we'll make dinner for you, and we would love to just kind of talk through the questions at the end. It's meant to be a discipleship resource.
Wow, that's great. That's exactly what our churches need. Friends, this is the real deal. You can ruin your life. You talk to somebody riding the rapids. You talk to somebody entering into marriage. You know, we can ruin our own lives. We could ruin our own marriages. You can fall out of the boat. You know, we have the technology to ruin our own lives. I think we all need to realize that. And, wow, humility and a reverence for God and a reverence for marriage and a respect for the church and the opportunities that we have within the church to exercise the one another's and to help one another down the rapids of life. That's the subject today on the Generations broadcast. Sean Perrin and Spencer Harmon, both pastors from Jacksonville. They've got the new book out, Letters to a Romantic First Years of Marriage. Highly recommended. Again, it's Letters to Romantic First Years of Marriage, available anywhere online. Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us. Critical topic. I hope people pass this interview on to their friends and fellow church members, because if there's a flag to be thrown on the play, I think we need this in our churches right now.
Kevin, it was a joy to be here. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for the opportunity to come and speak.
Kevin, thank you so much. It's been our pleasure.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.